Hello and welcome to Be The Beans podcast. I'm your host Alexia Alfredo, and on today's episode we have the creative and self-motivated entrepreneur Gemma Crane, who is a copywriter and the founder of the Gemma Crane blog, which is centered around international lifestyle and business. So get comfortable. Gemma, welcome. It's wonderful to finally have you on our podcast.
Hi, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you for being on our podcast, Gemma. You're a copywriter and a blogger who mostly blogs about lifestyle and business. But this wasn't necessarily your plan when you started university. It wasn't to become an entrepreneur straight away. I was wondering, could you tell us how you started your entrepreneur journey?
Yeah, sure. So a little bit about my blog. I had a bit of history with blogging before. I actually used to blog about beauty when I was sort of in my late teens. And over time, I sort of growing out of that, and my blogs kind of evolved into talking about slow living, intentional lifestyle, you know, doing what you love in life, focusing on what you want to do, but taking control and responsibility of your well-being at the same time. I started it after I graduated university. I always knew inside myself that I wanted to be a writer in some way, but I didn't have a lot of confidence in it, and I wasn't sure really how to go about making it my job. I actually studied tourism management at university, and I went through different phases of not knowing what I wanted to do when I came out of that, because I'm pretty multi-passionate. I sort of like to dabble in everything. And I just really wanted to push myself and, you know, give myself that opportunity just to try something new every day.
So you said you studied tourism and management at university. At first, what made you go for that course?
Well, initially I chose it because I really enjoyed geography and travel. And our lecturers would always tell us not to say in job interviews that we learned about it because we liked travelling. Maybe because it was too cliche or it doesn't sound professional enough. But I don't really see anything wrong with that. And for me, it was good to get a good perspective on the theory of why we travel and the processes behind how we're able to do it.
Could you actually share with us those theories as to why people travel?
Yeah, sure. It's different for everybody, but the biggest reason is that need to escape. And I think a lot of people who travel will understand to where I'm coming from when I say we want to leave a mundane reality and really just escape from the pressures of everyday life, go away, discover something new, and find inspiration.
Yes, I must say that's so true. I personally believe that traveling helps you get inspired and it refreshes you as you emerge into a new culture, sometimes another language, and it does feel like a new world. And you do need some form of escape from hectic schedules and endless phone calls. When we were speaking previously, you mentioned there was a module on your course that sparked an interest in business. What exactly made you decide to be an entrepreneur rather than, let's say, a travel agent or working in the hotel business?
When I went into my degree, it was a management degree, so we had a bit of business and marketing involved, and I was initially quite nervous to start because I'd never really had a background in it before. So I'd always considered, you know, taking up typical jobs in travel, and I do like customer facing roles and being part of a team, but I couldn't really see myself in a job that, you know, where I couldn't necessarily push myself in terms of my own creativity and still be able to learn new things all the time.
Right, so those were the factors that actually made you decide to be an entrepreneur. I do see that, you know, your passion for tourism and travel hasn't completely gone. Based on your Instagram feed, you still have a lot of content that comes from abroad.
Yeah, essentially. I mean, there's work that I do that still involves writing for travel business. So I've not turned my back on travel at all.
One thing I want to know that I believe those who are listening will really benefit from is, how do you manage traveling alongside work?
Why, I love traveling to both places that are new to me and that are familiar, because wherever I go, I find inspiration somewhere. So I always like to, you know, take those experiences and write about them and share them with people in that way. So when I'm traveling, I do have to kind of balance things out between work and, you know, my downtime and when I go off on excursions and whatnot. So I try to keep myself organized ahead of time. Generally, before I go, I'll plan my work tasks and my travel preparations as far in advance as possible. And then while I'm out there in the destination, I'll keep tabs on everything. But of course, it is also important to make the most of the trip without being, all consumed by work.
So actually, would you say you go on holiday to go on holiday, or do you think of a, let's say, a destination that could possibly be good to get content from for your social media accounts and blog, or is that not the case?
I'm always coming up with new things to share with people, and I sort of go traveling with the means to relax on the beach, but quite often I'm generally going there for content as well. I'll always have a notebook on me or my laptop, and then at times when I come up with ideas, I'll jot them down and get ready to. Sometimes I'll write it when I come back. Other times I'm there on the balcony writing. But yeah, it's just what I do. And it just feels normal to me.
I know that a lot of people within the business, well, sometimes judge people's capabilities based on age. Gemma, you're a young entrepreneur, and you know being an entrepreneur can be very challenging. Did you encounter any struggles when you started your blog or established your brand?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of risk involved with becoming an entrepreneur, and I think that's why quite often young people will shy away from it. But really, you have to be willing to take those risks and always just try to be improving. For me, the struggle, I think the biggest struggle that I had was not sort of making my brand consistent enough. Generally, I'm quite indecisive, so building my brand really sort of required me to step back and consider what messages I actually want to convey, who I'm targeting, and how I want to present that message. So I definitely went through a few phases of not really knowing what my brand identity was, and that is really important in business.
So then, how did you actually overcome these struggles? Did you read books? Did you listen to podcasts?
Yeah, honestly, I had to have a really long, hard think and do a lot of research. I read lots on brand storytelling from fellow bloggers. There's a lot of bloggers on Instagram where I sort of do most of my networking. And so I would read how they were doing it, see how they were presenting themselves, everything from what topics they were talking about to their use of colour, and just learning about, why they were doing what they were doing. And it's a continuous journey. It's something that always, it's always something that you need to be focusing on. You always have to stay on brand.
You tend to promote your blog posts and your brand through social media quite heavily. What was the insight that, you gathered that made you decide to use social media as a marketing strategy?
Well, I think we're so exposed to the world of social media that it's kind of almost impossible not to see the impacts of social media usage when it comes to promoting a brand. Both online influencers and established brands are making shifts in their digital marketing strategies so that they can ensure that the same people or the same users are seeing them all the time on, multiple different platforms, to increase their memorability. And I think we rely on the internet so much for brand exposure and that brand awareness. And it's also really important to consider that actually customer interaction is just as crucial as it always has been, even in this day and age. So social media, it plays a huge role in that business to customer relationship and brand promotion.
But specifically, what made you go for the internet to, promote your brand and your blog?
Well, the internet for me, really, I mean, so many others I'm sure will agree that the internet just opens up a ton of different possibilities for people. I could be a copywriter without using the internet, but it'd be a lot harder to find the people that want to work with me. It'd be harder for me to sort of advertise my services. So you really have to, take the opportunities that are available to you, and the internet just has a whole wealth of those.
Yes, that's very true. The internet has really brought people new opportunities, you know, opportunities to grow and get more exposure. It has facilitated the way we even communicate. You don't even have to physically be present in a room in order to get things done. I mean, we can even talk about YouTube. YouTube has completely changed the way we watch videos. Now you can be up and about and you can still, you know, watch your favorite YouTuber. we actually met through Instagram, and that's where you actually interact with most of your readers. You know, in 2018, there's so many different social media platforms, but what were the factors that made you stick to Instagram?
Well, it's definitely important to have a strong presence across multiple social media platforms, but yeah, most of my traffic comes in from Instagram, and I think I gravitate towards using Instagram as a more sort of heavy way to interact with people because it has a certain community feel where we're able to follow those who share the same interests as us, and we also get that satisfaction of a really visual appeal, you know, with artistic or inspirational images. And I think despite the platform being massive and one of the most used, above all, I think it still feels quite intimate to me. And it's nice. It's good to interact with people that are like-minded.
Yeah, I guess it allows you to directly respond to your followers. You can like or you can comment on their post, and you know, you can create a relationship with them. And yes, Instagram does really facilitate, you know, building a community. Another tool from Instagram is Instagram Stories. That helps you draw attention to your page or whatever you choose to put on there. It can help you alert your followers, you know, on your new post,
yeah,
or even your new blog post without them actually being on your Instagram page. Have you found that to be useful?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I will always make sure that I add updates here and there whenever I've put a new post up. And actually, a lot of the people that I sort of interact with day to day on Instagram, it's over Instagram Stories. And I think it's just a really nice way to show people what you're up to. You know, if you're working on a project and somebody out there wants help with something exactly like that, you know, you can teach people there and then. And then the recent Instagram TV update as well, that's really useful again, so people can go back to these sort of relatively long form videos on Instagram, just as a quick reference. And it's just an incredible, there's a ton of different ways that you can share over Instagram. It's very diverse.
You tend to use Pinterest quite a lot. And Pinterest has become a new platform where, you know, businesses are starting to advertise on, and, you know, they're truly starting to see that this is a new portal for them. What exactly about Pinterest that you think businesses should take more advantage of?
Well, I think the great thing about Pinterest is, although it's not the sort of the first social media site that comes to mind when a business is looking to flesh out their social media strategy, it's the fact that people can simply just stumble across you. I think if you've got quality content or a product that you sell on Pinterest and it catches someone's eye, it's, as you said, the way they can directly go to your site and view that piece of content.
Yes, that's so true.
That's
something I can still see.
Potentially make a purchase. It's an excellent way to gain exposure. But again, you can also target ads to consumers in the way you choose as you would on other social media sites. So it's another one of those dynamic pieces of software that brings lots of opportunity for businesses.
Now, a lot more businesses are starting to become aware of how Pinterest can act as, you know, a portal to their customers and can be a great tool to bring attention to their products and their services, all from just, you know, images.
Yeah, that's right, definitely.
This is what I actually want to get your opinion on. The fact that you didn't start with a background in business, do you agree that you don't need a business degree to enter the business world?
I personally learned that I enjoyed business while I was studying my course. That definitely really helped me. But in general, yeah, I don't think you need a business degree to get into business. I think there's so much fear and pressure that we put on ourselves where we feel like if we're not suitably qualified for something, we're not going to be able to make an impact. And I think we should always embrace learning in whatever way is right for us, you know, whether we self-taught or whether we take a course. But I don't think qualifications should define everything. I don't think they should be the be-all and end-all. You know, they can give us information and help us discover what we're good at, but they can't always teach us what our personal strengths are. And I think that often comes from continuing to develop our skills, also just our ability to adapt to situations that we're not familiar with. I think sometimes you have to give things a try to know whether or not you like it, and I don't think qualifications should really be a barrier to that.
So what would your advice be to those in that position?
I think probably my best advice would be just to find those new ways to learn, look for opportunities to develop your skills, and just observe others as well. I think there is a lot to be found in just simply watching and learning from somebody else. There's a lot of, I mean, you'd be surprised the amount of entrepreneurs out there who have built, you know, empires and perhaps didn't have the qualification at the beginning of it all that, you know, you might generally expect to have to create something of that scale.
You were an entrepreneur straight after finishing university. What would your advice be to those who aren't sure of whether to enter the corporate world or become entrepreneurs?
I think you should consider your situation. The bottom line is that you should always be sensible and realistic about what you're doing. So, for example, you need to be able to afford to live when you start to build a business from scratch, because you have to invest in it. There will be money that you need to spend, so you have to have, you know, some sort of financial stability when you start, and how you do that is up to you and your circumstances. But I think if you've got an idea and you feel so strongly about it, the best thing you can do is just make a start on it now. Nonetheless, it's easy to sort of say, okay, I'm gonna start my business when I have a certain amount of money, or, you know, when I live somewhere different. But actually, it's starting in the moment that is, I mean, that's gonna make the biggest impact, because the longer you wait, you're losing a lot of opportunity by not just going for it and starting with what you have.
That's very true. And Gemma, being an entrepreneur sometimes does feel like you're your own manager and employee all in one. How do you manage that?
Yeah, it is. I think, first of all, you need to have discipline. It could be very easy for me to just, I don't know, roll out of bed at, you know, 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning, and then just do a bit of work here and there. But I know for me, that's not how I roll. You know, I can't just sit and, for example, do an interview like this while sitting in my pyjamas. I have to be ready 9 a.m, start the day, and just live my life as if I was working a 9-to-5. You have to really own up to the job and be responsible for it. And that means, you know, putting the effort in with the means to get rewards from it in the end. It's definitely not an easy road, and you're going to make mistakes no matter what, but you should really feel like you live for your business and doing what you love each day. It's up to you to keep it going, but you've also got to remember that you're still a human and you do have to compromise, give yourself time to relax. So it's about getting that balance right, you know, in a way that works for you.
Have you ever thought about going back to the corporate world of the 9-to-5?
Yeah, definitely. The beauty of what I'm doing now is that I have left myself an open door if I ever want to go back down that route again. So I'm always thinking about how my situation changes and, you know, where I can go to next. So yeah, I like to think that I've kind of left the opportunity there to go back into 9-to-5.
On your blog, one of your latest posts was about why businesses should invest in having their own blogs. In short, why do you believe that to be so?
I think there's so many positives to having a blog that, you know, you kind of should always, there shouldn't really be a discussion in a way, I think, because there's so many different things about blogs. You know, they make it great for SEO, so you show up in search engines. If you are selling products, maybe you have an online shop and you want to give a little bit more detail aside from that sort of little product description to convince a customer that your product is right for them. And above all, I think they're an amazing way to actually build trust with your customers. If a business gives away information for free on a blog, what they're doing is they're forming a bond with the reader and showing them that they care about them, they know about them, and they know their needs. And I feel personally that's essential nowadays when there's so much competition around, that, you know, a blog is really important to stand out amongst the crowd.
Now, this is something I actually really want to know. You're a writer, full-time writer, you're a copywriter and a writer for your own blog. With all of that writing, do you ever get writer's block?
Yeah.
Then how do you overcome it?
Yeah, 100%. Well, it's so frustrating when you can't communicate what you want to say. And as a writer, it's really hard to navigate your way out of it. I try to look for inspiration in whatever it is I'm doing, wherever I go. Like I said before, you know, if I'm traveling somewhere, I'll look around me and keep seeing, sort of taking note of the things that are going on around me. You know, if things just aren't coming to me, then I know it's time to sort of stop thinking about it, stop worrying, and, you know, just look outside of the box. So yeah, I try to keep reading, keep watching the world, and eventually things do start to come back. But it's one of those things that you have to work through, definitely.
Being a copywriter for other businesses is also, you know, a form of outsourcing. You have a lot of experience within this field. What do you think businesses can benefit from, you know, hiring a copywriter?
Yeah, for sure. I personally work with a lot of entrepreneurs and small and medium enterprises. So what I tend to find when they come to me is they ask me, you know, we have such and such a project to do, but we just don't have the resources or the time to do it. And it's true. I mean, sometimes there are just not enough hours in a day to get everything done and keep everything up to date, you know, keep the blog updated, or, you know, it's difficult to sit and write for a few hours on some marketing collateral. So yeah, outsourcing those certain tasks to somebody who understands your needs and who can actually provide them for you is really beneficial and a lot more productive in the long term.
You know, as we said that, you know, being an entrepreneur can mean your own manager and your own employee sometimes. So, you know, so that means you're always busy. How do you stay organized and on top of your work schedule?
Well, I try to plan in advance where possible. So I'll make use of scheduling apps for my social media management. And I especially rely on my diary. Have to have my diary next to me at all times. I also do have set times in a week where I cover things like my admin. So I might take the Friday morning to focus on my finances and just get on top of it all so that I'm organized, but I'm not overwhelmed.
So now, with your experience of being an entrepreneur, what advice would you have given yourself when you first started?
I probably would tell myself not to be afraid of making a start. I used to be so embarrassed that writing and blogging was what I wanted to do. But actually, I really shouldn't have been. I don't think you should be embarrassed about what it is that you love to do and what you're working for, because especially as an entrepreneur, you are your brand, and that is most important, and you have to believe in what you're doing and keep at it for anybody to take you seriously, you know. So it's a long road, but it's exciting and it's rewarding at the same time.
What would be the one thing you know now that you wish you knew when you first started?
I think the one thing I wish I knew when I started was that I shouldn't doubt myself, and that I'll always be changing in one way or another. So probably that it's okay to have to keep making those changes in order to get things the way I want them to be. Accepting change is actually perfectly normal, and it's really just part of the journey. So I think that's definitely the advice I give myself, is don't, you know, don't hold back from it because you think it's going to go downhill in a month's time, because you really have to, you know, you really need that belief to keep going. And eventually, you know, things will work out, and you'll be getting a lot more from it. It will be a lot more of a joy, really.
We're really excited to announce we also have a collaborated post. So our blog post is on how you can increase your business's, you know, brand awareness and interaction on social media pages by using a simple incentive technique. And Gemma's post is all about why your business needs Pinterest in your marketing strategy. Gemma, thank you so much for being on our podcast. It was a pleasure to interview you.
Thank you for having me. It's been good fun.